Good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast. Evangelist Gene Voss with you this morning, bringing to you the Word of God from God's precious Word. And getting back to the Word of God is the desire of our hearts to see happen in America today. Quit pushing the Bible back. Quit failing to look at it for instruction and help and direction. And get back in the Word of God. It's a desire of our heart of every child of God. It should be. But it's good to be here this morning. Thank you for taking time to tune us in for a little while. Trust that you that know the worth of prayer, you will pray that God would use the broadcast for His glory and for His honor, that we might help some precious soul see the light and see the Lord Jesus as a need in their life and be saved before it's too late. Somebody that's away from God, drifting out into sin, somebody that's cold and indifferent. We want to be a help to someone today. Because the Lord wants you to serve Him. He wants every sinner to be saved. It's not His will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. It's not His will that lost people go to hell. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to make it possible that folks wouldn't have to go there, except what He provided for us, paid for our sin debt on the cross of Calvary by His own Son's life. And then, of course, raised Him from the dead to justify us and gave us the offer, the free gift of salvation, if we'll only accept it by faith and be born again, be saved by God's grace. Good to be here. Thank you for taking time. Invite you to church this morning here at Mountain View Baptist Church, where we're members at. I invite you to come. Brother Kevin Norton's a pastor. And you come be with us today in the service this morning. God will just bless you and help you through the Word of God today and the songs and the testimonies of God's people. And so you be in church. Make plans to be in the house of God this morning. Be faithful to your place. Amen. And so we invite you to come. If you don't have a church home, you come visit. And then, of course, you be faithful to your church. You've got a good Bible preaching, Bible-believing church. You praise God for it. God called man of God preaching to you. It's a blessing to have that in this day and time. And so you come. All right, we're going to go into the Word of God this morning in a little while, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And before we do, we want to pray for the needs, to pray for you that's got needs this morning. You are sick and shut in. I want to send it especially to you, as God would help you as you look to Him for your strength for this day and for grace in the time of your need. And so we want to send it out to you this morning. Then, of course, the unsaved, especially, we want to take time to remind you of your need of a Savior. You ought to be born again, get saved by God's grace. It's not the boring life you think it is. It's a vibrant, fulfilled life of joy that's serving the Lord. And that's what you need in your heart and life today. Fathers, we bow in your presence this morning. Thank you for this day. Privileged, Lord, just about the throne room of God. And come to you boldly through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for grace and for help and for strength in the times of our needs, your direction you've given us in the times of our confusion. Lord, we want to thank you for redeeming us from our sins and saving us by your wonderful grace. Lord, thank you. I pray you bless the needs in the radio land this morning. Touch every heart that's out there that needs help. I pray you'd encourage the believers to be faithful to you, to love you, and to be faithful to the house of God, be faithful to you. And everything that you do this day, we'll give you honor and praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have some songs this morning and hope it'll be a real blessing to your heart today, be an uplift to you, so you listen to the words of it as they sing.
Down from heaven's throne and as I knelt so depraved. My God gave me mercy when my sins he forgave. Oh, it's his mercy, his mercy. It's my God's loving mercy that saved both you. Justice, we would surely be lost, but we found mercy when we knelt at his cross. And how many times have I bowed before God to ask his forgiveness for some wrong that I had done. And how many times have I heard my Lord say, child, as long as I have mercy, you're forgiven today. Oh, it's his mercy, his mercy. It's my God's love that saved both you and me. Oh, if we had gotten justice, we would surely be lost. But we found mercy when we knelt at his cross. Yes, we found mercy when we knelt at his cross.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, to sweet sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire, thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints and spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Amen. I tell you, just pull up to the table. God's always got food ready. Just come and dine. Amen. Good to be here this morning. The microphone. Trust you'll pray that God will use the program today for his glory. And don't forget, be in church today. Sunday school begins at 10. We're back in the Sunday school classes at the church. So you come today at 10 o'clock, 10:45 for the worship service. This morning, back tonight at 7 o'clock. 5 o'clock for the evening service and 7 on Wednesday. So you come be with us throughout this week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. For I tell you, I want to take a look at this morning and just have a thought for the message today for a little while, simply on this. Of course, what the Lord sent to the church at Thessalonica, he sent them some men of God here. And notice in verses 5, the Bible said, "For our gospel came not unto you on word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And so here's the ministry of the Apostle Paul and Silvanus and Timothy at the church at Thessalonica. Paul is writing to them, and of course making reference also to these other men of God that God used to help this church along the way. And so here we find that Paul identifies the type of ministry that was given by the Lord unto this church, how God used them, what God had called them to do and sent them to do, and they were the means by which God showed this church what he wanted them to know through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the God-inspired letter that was written to them from these men of God and making reference to the gospel. And of course, that's a main thrust and a theme of every ministry is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he made sure in his references made here to this church that he identified it was from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying Jesus as being the Son of God, as one that God sent to this world to redeem this world from their sins, and of course making that knowledge well known to this church. And so we find that our gospel, he talked about our gospel. He didn't say my gospel, but he said our gospel. It was inclusive. There was other men of God that God had called and sent out also, and he made reference unto them. There was Silas, of course, and Timothy, these great men of God that were known for their support of the gospel and their preaching of the gospel, and known for their support of the Apostle Paul, and how that God used them in concert with each other to help this church. And so God's always got a man of God for a church. Amen. It came unto them. God's sent him unto them. He was chosen of God. Of course, God chooses the one to bring the gospel. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, we called our preacher. Well, God set in order the things. If he's God's man and he's the one for you, God set things in order for you to call him. God set it up, and God sent him to you through the avenue that you use to be the pastor, to be the leader of that flock. And so here we find that Paul is writing unto them the gospel, talking about the gospel. And of course, the only way that we're going to get anything done today is by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not all these other things that we have going on in the world today that gets folks saved, but it's simply the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul had a ministry among these people here. He talked about the word. Amen. The gospel came not unto you in word only. He didn't just read the gospel. He didn't just read it. It's not just in word only, but there had to be some power behind that gospel, and so to send it out with much effect. Not in word only, but in power. Amen. The power of God had to be upon that ministry, and that's exactly what's needed in the world today, in our society today, in America today. It's a gospel with power upon it. Amen. The power of God with direction behind it, purity of living and godly living. And that's what's needed to be behind the gospel of the Lord Jesus today. And so our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And then he said, in the Holy Ghost. And there you find the power of God motivating and empowering the gospel and the preacher and the men of God. And then the Holy Ghost, of course, in his guidance and his leadership and his learning. And that's exactly how we learn, is through the Holy Ghost of God. And so this thing was being reminded of the Thessalonians that God was using that gospel in power. The power of God was behind it. That's the reason that it becomes effective. That's the reason that folks get saved, that there's an unequal power. Amen. There's an unequal power in the Word of God. Paul expected things would happen when he preached the gospel. He expected that. He knew the power of the gospel. You see, how did he know it? Well, we know that Paul knew it by personal experience. When the gospel was presented to Paul as Saul of Tarsus, and he heard that gospel, and he saw what God was doing in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and brother, it affected him. The Holy Ghost took those things and brought conviction upon his life, and so there was the power of God, and he expected things to take place. When he preached the gospel, he expected folks to get saved, and he expected lives to be changed, and that's what the gospel does. It changes lives. He expected churches to spring up as the need arose in that land there. There was no churches. There was the beginning of the church of the living God started out there at Jerusalem and Antioch, and spread further, began to spread, and so there was the things that was taking place. The churches were springing up, and he knew that, and Paul knew these things was going to take place, and he expected that. He expected things to happen, sinners to get saved, and he expected churches to blossom and bloom and grow in the Lord, and he expected folks to get angry. And you say, why would he expect that? Well, because they got angry with him. Paul had already experienced the persecution. That's what the Lord told him. And when he called him, saved him, and called him and sent him out, I'm going to show you how great a thing you're going to suffer for my name's sake. If any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. Amen. And so there's the things that he expected. He expected folks would get angry. We don't want folks to get angry at the gospel and the preaching of the Word of God. We don't want that. But it happens, amen, because men are living in the carnal flesh that they're in, and there's a resistance against the gospel and against righteousness, brother. And so there's, he expected folks would get angry. He expected the devil would stir up opposition to the gospel. Amen. It happened to him, and it was happening here in Thessalonica. The gospel was being opposed by the devil and by its crowd that rose up people against the preaching of the Word of God. And so Paul, we find here the power of God unequaled. Brother, those things was taking place, and the power of God, he didn't rely upon his excellent hermeneutics and what he could do. And what he could say, he didn't rely on his knowledge of homiletics and things of the religious community and of course the high learning of his day, and he didn't rely upon those things. Amen. He didn't rely upon his first class education. He spoke several languages fluently, but he didn't rely upon that. He relied upon the power of God. He said, our gospel came not unto you in these things, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And not of man's wisdom, but brother of the power of God. And so he didn't rely upon his first class education. He didn't rely upon his mastery of the original languages. Amen. And the folks think the power of God can only work through folks that knows Greek and Hebrew and different languages. No, he didn't rely upon that. No, siree. And brother, he relied upon the power of God and the learning and the motivation of the Holy Ghost of God. He didn't rely upon his natural eloquence. Paul was a speaker. Brother, he had an eloquence. I mean, there was something about his preaching of the Word of God. He didn't rely upon his powerful personality. Have no, sir. Folks don't rely upon that. And that many folks rely upon that today. The powerful personality that they have to mesmerize the people that are listening and to grasp them and the palm of their hand and guide them in different ways and many times in the wrong way. He didn't rely upon that. No, sir. He didn't rely upon his outlines and his illustrations that he had to preach. He didn't rely upon those things. His sincerity was real. He relied upon the power of God and the Holy Ghost and to guide the ministry that he had to preach the Word of God. And so listen, it was the Holy Spirit from start to finish. Everything about Christ is supernatural. And the power of God got to be there. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost has got to be there. And when Paul came to them, he came to them, brother, in the power of God. Our gospel came not unto only you in the word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Amen. Much assurance. And brother, listen, this thing is not something we're not sure of, but assurance speaks of faith and belief and that, brother, the knowledge that it really does work for the glory of God. Much assurance. When Paul preached, he preached with much assurance. And as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, Paul said, we live for Christ, that you might see what Christ can do in our lives and you might show others what Christ has done in your life. And so listen, and he said, you became followers of us. It produces followers. Amen. Brother, when the gospel goes out, the leadership comes in, followers began to develop among the people. And they began to follow. He said, you become followers of us and of the Lord. Amen. It's not just following man, but it's the one that's leading that man, the Lord. Amen. The leaders, have they God depend upon God, having received the word in much affliction, and with joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother, he received that word and had real joy. Paul began to find out what real joy was all about. His countenance had changed. His outlook had changed. And brother, his dedication had changed. His allegiance had changed. And brother, he was dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the kind of leadership that God sends his churches. Amen. And brother, folks, it depends upon the power of God and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He said, so that you became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And brother, listen, and Paul said, we were examples among you, and then you became examples among others in Macedonia and Achaia. And they began to see what Christ had done in your life because of what Christ had done in our life. And we preached the gospel unto you, and you got saved, and you got changed, and you got delivered. And then you begin to show others. He showed and said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so you need not speak. We need not speak, have to speak anything. Their faith to Godward was spread abroad. Their faith was seen, and their works produced, faith produced works that folks saw in their lives. And they represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they began to see what God was doing. God sent these men there that they might learn and that they might be led by the Lord and the power of God to work among them as they saw work among Paul and Silas. Timothy, they began to see that work, and God began to change lives in this church. And brother, they began to, their faith was seen everywhere else. As they went in other places, their faith went with them. Brother, listen, faith in God is not something you lay down on Monday morning and pick up on Sunday morning. Amen? No, siree. And brother, it's real. Wherever you go, your faith shows. Your faith grows. Amen. And others began to see that because God sent somebody among them that they might learn and get saved and be led of God. God sent his men there to be examples unto them that they might see what the Lord had done in their lives, and God produced works in their lives, and they spread abroad other places and showed what the Lord could do. And that's what it's all about. That's what the Lord's doing with his men today and with the church of the living God. He's spreading the gospel. It's all about the gospel. Amen. It's not that, it's not man's natural abilities that God, but God puts his power upon his men and upon the church of the living God to see the gospel begin to work and folks begin to get saved by God's grace. Amen. So listen. Here we find that God was doing something among this church and sending the gospel among them with these men of God that were proven and that had had evidence in their lives that God had changed them and they were different than they used to be, and they had something in their hearts that these folks stood in need of. And brother, the gospel went out among the people, and then the other folks began to see what the Lord could do in their lives today. That's what we need in America today, is some changed lives. And brother, folks seeing what the Lord Jesus can do among their lives if they just submit unto him. And so listen, here we find, of course, Paul had a great gratitude for these men and for this church. He praised God for them. But these men that went with him and was there when he wrote this letter, brother, was men of God that was called and sent out of God. And God used these men there to establish a work for the glory of God. That's what's so wonderful about it. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is alive and well today in this world today. Oh yes, there's sin. I know there's false doctrines among the people today and among the land, but there's a real church alive and well today. The Lord hasn't come back and got us yet. Brother, he's going to come. He's going to come get us. He's not going to leave us in this old world today, but he's going to come looking for that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And so the church today is expecting him, because God sent the gospel among us, and they preached to us the gospel, and we follow the word of God and saw those examples and won others to the Lord, and the church is going to be here when Jesus comes to get us out of this world. Our time is gone. May God bless you. Is our prayer until next Sunday.